orgasmic carmatic, then you, and female Satan, the fallen.
It's Lexi, and I have female Satan with me.
Hello.
I unfortunately don't have Betty Doom. We don't have Betty Doom with us today. I'm not exactly sure why. She may have had to work, or maybe she forgot, or whatever the case may be. But the show must go on. You've taken quite a break the past couple of weeks. We sure miss you around Sin.
Yeah. No, it's been a complete technology break. I brought back our central heat and air last week, but that was just because it got so hot that we couldn't do it anymore without that.
Well, yeah, you're down south, so I can imagine it's just as bad down there as it has been up here. I know up here we're just recently getting a break, and by break I mean like mid-80s, and I don't think that's a break at all. I've been hibernating.
Yeah.
Let's just say
so
I don't do well with
it. I went outside and looked down my thermometer thing one day last week, and it was 98. I was like, yeah, this is too hot to continue that part of the experiment, which is part of why I extended it, because at that point it's like, well, I can't do no electricity. We're all going to, you know, die of heat stroke if I don't do something.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine that's it's not very pleasant in the summer. I know my mom, what I'm saying over here is she doesn't have air conditioning, and so she's got a massive box of fans everywhere. Even the cats don't want to do anything. They just sit in front of the fan doing nothing at all.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is that I learned that really quick. A lot of heat just makes everybody lazy real fast, too. You don't want to do anything. You just lay around.
Yeah, it also makes me very angry. It's not good for my anger management problem issues with that.
So
I've been kind of grumpy.
I haven't been around. What's going on? Anything or
nothing too extravagant. We had we recently had to remove the IM. The personal messaging system off of the site because it was making it just crawl. I mean, it would just stay there and you wouldn't be able to do anything. I know approving members on the site was just a nightmare to the point where I got through two or three of them and I'm like, you know what, y'all can wait because I'm not going to sit here and wait 10 minutes to approve a user.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really bad. And what was happening was the fact that the way they updated it is not only would your friends show up, but other members on the site would show up as well.
Okay.
For whatever
yeah.
reason. And it just kept reloading with every new member that would come on. And so it got axed. We decided to let go of it, even though I know a lot of people liked it. It was just pain.
I liked it, but that doesn't sound like it's worth it.
I liked it when it only showed my friends, because at that
mm-hmm.
point, then you know, because like it was easier to get a hold of people than have to chase them down across the site. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's going to take me 10 minutes to approve a user. It's just
yeah.
a pain in my ass at that point.
Well, no, exactly. Well, I liked it because I don't always like to go in main chat, so I enjoyed it for that reason. It was kind of, I didn't always have to do that because my browser would always go, like, just start dragging really bad in tiny chat, so it didn't do that outside of it.
Yeah, I tiny chat tends to make you, you were like the primary target. You've been their primary target ever since you even joined Sin. I noticed that, like, always about 15 behind everybody. I always felt really bad.
I even changed companies. I went with the cable company to get it better, and it didn't make a difference at all, which actually made me mad because it doubled the cost of my internet for no difference whatsoever.
I think it's a Wall FM thing, and when they're updating, we can't control the updates, and that's a really big problem, and things start disappearing, and then everyone's got complaints that we can't take care of. And it's like, you know, I had a couple members actually come and they PM'd me about some of the different issues they're having, and it's really frustrating to have to PM them back and go, you know, I really can't do anything about it. I can't control Wall FM, and neither can Zach, so, you know. It also doesn't help. I have to go through the videos and pictures again because the videos are just getting straight retarded. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah. I do miss it at this point. It's been way too long. It's been like, I don't know, like 20 days at this point. Yeah, something like that. But the kids start school on Monday, so I'm trying to extend my little tech break until then. That way they get a, you know, we get as close to a month as possible. I can't do it after school starts, obviously. So.
Yeah, my kids don't actually go back until September. They've got really long break, yeah. And I'm waiting. I cannot wait for them to go back. It sounds bad, but it's true. I cannot wait for them to go back. They're driving me absolutely up the wall.
No. I hear you. I definitely understand what you mean. I'll have three in school this year, so I'll just have the one left at home, which is actually pretty awesome. It kind of makes things way easier during the school year, for sure. Because then I've got three out of four going, except my oldest, we might be actually converting him to online school. It's this thing called K-12, and it's like an approved. Yeah, we're thinking about going that way because he was having some trouble last year. So we'll, we're debating doing that if he starts having more trouble in school again.
Yeah, that's what my mother was planning on doing for my brother when he gets out of the school that he's in now, which he's got another year or so. And those programs are actually kind of interesting, but you got to be careful and get the right accreditation and all that, you know.
Yeah. The one we're looking at is it's doing the same exact curriculum as the actual public school does, and it's sponsored by the same public school system. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know they had that option available now, but yeah, we might do that. Their school is I can't remember what it's called, but basically it's a bilingual school because of there's a very large immigrant population in the suburb, in the area that I live in, the town, which is on the outskirts of Nashville, and it's so bad that they've literally, every sign is in English and Spanish. So that's part of the issue at that specific school, is that they're having to learn he's having to learn Spanish and also then take his lessons in English. And I think it's just confusing for him.
Yeah, I can imagine that. My daughter's school is pretty much the same way. They have lots of international students, and I mean, it's working out well for her now, but if she has issues later on, then I'll definitely think about pulling her. But it's one of the nicest schools in the area, so I really wanted her to go into that one.
Yeah. So today's topic is riots and protests, right?
Yep. Riots and protests. And okay, first I have to explain why this is more political than it is religious, because usually the ooze, except for Luminous, which is, it covers current events, and that's on Tuesdays, and then The Outbreak, which Jason does also on Sundays. I'm a little bit on a political kick lately. I participated in Operation Onslaught. I don't know if you know what that was.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. And also there's a couple other ones that I've participated in, and I've actually also started a political blog under a completely different alias for reasons that I really don't want anybody around me to have to suffer for my outlandish opinions. So it's not under a pseudonym that I normally use. It was it's definitely given me some area to come out and say things that I normally don't get to. So I'm genuinely excited about the blog. And personally, it's gotten to the point where I don't care if anyone's really reading it. The fact that it's there is satisfaction. Like, it satisfies me enough. But riots and protests, they're two very different things. Granted, protests usually and can, under certain circumstances, turn into a riot, in which case, if it gets bad enough, martial law is then enacted, which I wrote a blog on martial law, too, simply because I was just that damn amazed that so many people do not know what martial law is. They don't know what the executive orders are. They don't know what it means. They just know, oh, it's a bad thing. And a lot of my coworkers, I was explaining it to my coworkers, and they had no idea. They just knew it had something to do with the military, and that's pretty much it. And the reason I did it also was that there was a video that was posted in a group about troops that have been being trained for the specific purpose of civil unrest and martial law.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. Yeah, and then the thing is, it's been going on for quite a while. The video, I believe, said it was 2008 that they started training these troops. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, half of the people that know what's going on, they're like, okay, this could be a bad thing because they need to remember what their role really is. And then, of course, you've got the people who don't know, and there's, how bad could it really get if you have the military protecting actual American soil? Well, the answer to that question is it could get really, really bad, because the executive orders 10995 through 12656 specifically state that if those are enacted, then the government seizes all forms of media, all food sources. It basically shuts down your First Amendment. And, it takes everything. You have nothing. I mean, it even says that they can control your assets and where they are and where you put them. I mean, it's straight 1984 bullshit. And I was like, oh, no, this is not okay at all. And for whatever reason, you know, riots and protests, they're very much a deep-seated thing in America. This is what we do to voice our opinion, and big or small, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's always been something that a lot of our large overturns of law and changes in our society in general have occurred because of protesting and rioting. The civil rights movement would be a great example of that.
Oh, definitely. And there are some stupid riots. I was reading up on this, okay? And there was a riot in Vancouver this year over the Stanley Cup. And, I mean, it got pretty bad. I remember, if you remember Dan saying he could still taste the tear gas in his mouth a week later. That to me was just very, very stupid. But it turns out that the Stanley Cup in Canada and riots, they have a very, very long history dating back to 1986 when they had one in Montreal. They had one in 1993, one in 1994, in 2006, and, of course, in 2011. So apparently they have a history of being extremely, well, for lack of a better term, butthurt over losing a game. So I was very disappointed in Vancouver when that happened this past year because I was rooting for Vancouver, and if I had money, I would have betted on Vancouver, and I would have lost a lot of money. And it's because they were being poor sports, I really do think, that towards the end they started losing, and instead of keeping that momentum, they just went and crashed.
Well, I mean, now from a perspective of, bringing the system down in general, riots and protests are good just for simply the amount of money they can cost if they're implemented properly. I know that the damage that was done during the Vancouver riot was relatively tremendous as an overall. I don't remember what the figure was, but I was reading about it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Operation Onslaught caused a lot of cleanup damage and stuff like that. And it costs a lot of money to have all of those things removed. I know there are things that I put up that are still up, which I'm happy about. But I'm sure they weren't too happy about it. But especially, you know, Grand Rapids Police Department that decided, you know. But I digress. That can be a pro or a con in a riot. Mm-hmm. Because if you're specifically aiming to create chaos, then I think that cleanup costs and damages and stuff like that, that's something that you almost want to inflict.
Mm-hmm. I would certainly say so.
Yeah, and of course, so I have to go with a little bit because we go too destructive. I think that the message kind of gets lost in the destruction because you're not thinking, they're not looking at what the cause really was. They're looking at all of this damage and how are they going to have to take care of it as taxpayers. Of course,
well,
that doesn't necessarily mean they...
I would agree, but in a way I would strongly disagree because I think that also when you look at the media and what it's going to show, a riot or a violent protest is going to make the news first, which theoretically would actually spread the message behind the cause further because they're going to, if you want to pick up on a national level, it would have to be relatively destructive, you know, for, a world news kind of thing to pick it up and, run with that as a story. I mean, protests happen all the time. I mean, I've protested stuff to death and, there's nobody there. It's just like, nobody really cares. I remember a couple years ago, I was driving through an area and there were all these people protesting Kentucky Fried Chicken. They had signs. There was a good couple hundred of them. They were all basically standing there with their signs, and, I mean, nobody was paying any attention to what they were doing, and I remember thinking, well, that's a bit of a wasted effort, If you guys were, screaming or yelling or, doing something, maybe a news camera would show up so you could talk to them and tell them why you're protesting.
Yeah, definitely. There is something to be said about, the passive aggressive protester. If you're too passive, no one's really going to listen to you. If you get too aggressive, then, you know, people are going to look at you and be like, okay, I get it, but what? And I recently, with this onslaught, I came across one of my old high school friends who apparently is no longer my friend because he just couldn't take the heat of debate, I guess, whatever the case may be. And he put a lot of really lowbrow name calling in the middle of it, and he never really got to the point. And he was actually one of the reasons why I started the blog, because I was so disgusted about just how many people that are out there that not only do they have conflicting opinions about the government, but they don't really understand how certain things work, and they're okay with that. And for some reason, I can't let that go. I cannot let go of the fact that there are just some people that don't get it, and they're okay with just not getting it. Because,
well, I think that,
you know,
most people cease to care. I mean, they just don't care. And honestly, you know, I think that we're presented in school with such a skewed view to begin with that, you know, it winds up, you know, I can always tell that whenever somebody's on a thread from one, you know, from America versus somewhere else, they're getting a pretty different history. You know, that portion of education is quite a bit different than what we get. And I think that really part of the problem is that I don't think that things are explained properly to the citizens in America in particular, and not the way they used to. And I think that it kind of makes people forget that they have power or that they're supposed to. So then it kind of gets taken away because we don't know how the system works anymore, you know, nor do we care, you know, really at the end of the day. A lot of people just don't. And there's a real defeatist, what can I do, what doesn't matter attitude that I see personally floating around quite a bit that I find quite shocking, because I always think to myself, you know, this is the country where, you know, I can name like 40 different people that, like, you know, changed everything. Not necessarily in a good way from my perception, but they changed it, you know. They changed the basis of, you know, our laws, And that always surprises me. Yeah, it's that there's this, well, it's just one vote, it doesn't matter attitude. And it's like, that's about as opposite of what I would consider the, it's pretty opposite to how I was raised and what my dad made that very, very clear to me, that I not only had a responsibility for what my government did, but that I had the ultimate amount of responsibility in how it turned and how it changed, and that I had to fight, that was sort of the nature of an American, is how it was always put to me.
Well, you know, previously, the Fallen Edition, we did a show about Pack versus Herd. That was the show that I'm referencing here, with Pack versus Herd. And I stated at the end, I asked you guys a question at the end of the show. Would you rather be, you know, work in a pack or work by yourself? And over the past few weeks that we've done the show, I've come to the conclusion that my answer, which was, of course, I try to avoid groups at all possible, and for the most part, I still stay that way. But I feel like after what happened with Onslaught, I've come more to the realization that there are some things that are better done with numbers.
Okay.
And
dealing
with the government is definitely one of those things. You can't do it by yourself. And if you could, well, congratulations to you, and I'd like to meet the sucker that can do it. But push comes to shove, you have to have doubles, you have to have people, and you have to be willing to sacrifice something. Because at any period of time that we were out there that night, we could have gotten into massive trouble for trying to spread such a subversive message to the general public simply because the government does not like being challenged. And that, I think, is a real problem. I think that they should not be threatened by us to the point where they're threatening us.
I've always been a big believer that a government should really fear its citizens, because then it tends to act right. If it knows that the citizens will rise up and say no, I feel like most governments tend to listen. If they have a very, very active group of citizens within that country, they tend to kind of stop and go, okay, well, maybe we won't do that. And, you know, you see that so much now where, like, people will just basically sit around and bitch about what's going on, and they do nothing about it but sit and bitch. And it's kind of like, you know, like, you know, I when I was on Facebook before, there was this band, and they were, like, really right-wing. I enjoyed their music quite a bit, but, I mean, they're, you know, they have thousands of people commenting on their stuff, but none of these people were doing anything. And I used to look at it and think, all of you people are mad, and you're doing nothing but bitching, you know, basically at the end of the day. That's, you know, if y'all all got together, you could do something.
That's the thing, though. I really think that the people that sit around and they refuse to do anything and they, whatever, is part laziness, and then it's another part, they don't want to. They don't want to have that responsibility put on their shoulders, but they want to be able to put their opinion out of it. It's kind of like the concept of, if you want to bitch about the president, then you should have went out and voted. That, you know, but if you didn't go out and vote, I don't want to hear about it, you know, because you just sat on your fucking thumbs and let everyone decide for you. And now, you know, push comes to shove, I still go out and I vote. But especially with the presidential election, I don't have too much trust in that process because of the fact that it is simply stated that anyone in the electoral college that you may vote for can and has the right to change their mind and put their vote towards the other president. Therefore, you really don't have too much of an option. You really have to put blind faith that these people that you've elected to elect your president is actually going to vote for the person that you wanted. So,
votes are weird. And that's a very, very strange system, too. You know, I mean, the way people get that, right, you know, get that ability and stuff, it's a really strange setup that we have there. I've never particularly liked that much. I always thought it should kind of be like, I don't know, the person the most people vote for wins.
Yeah, that's what I figured. That, to me, that makes sense. You have like 20 million different fucking hoops that you have to jump through in order to vote for anybody, and the piece of paper that you use to vote with is kind of like, okay, let's hope this works correctly. I mean, look at Bush.
Yeah.
I am a clear believer that Bush should not have gotten the second term. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that he won that second term. I sure as hell didn't vote for him. That's for damn sure. Everybody, you know, that was my whole thing. And people, Bush did this, Bush did that. I didn't vote for him. You know, and my mom, she's gone on this thing. Me and her have discussed my blog and discussed certain things. And she's like, you have to understand, we as a nation, we, you know, and that's something that she says a lot, is we as a nation. Well, I really don't like being grouped into the nation that has a reputation of tripping over themselves over and over and over again.
Well, I think that I don't know, patriotism is a funny thing, because I do think that no matter what you do, you are, you know, a part of your country. You're a part of that collective, even if, you know, because it does affect you, you know, where you're born, that affects, you know, your education, how you were raised, your basic values and morals you were raised with, I mean, a whole group of things. So I do think it is a permanently affecting thing. I also think that, you know, it's very important to step out of that mindset because it can be very, very hard-like. And, you know, a lot of people will spend a lot of time, you know, saying things like, I love America, but then they'll sit and tell you basically that they pretty much hate everything that, you know, is going on in the country. And I always think to myself, you probably actually don't like your country then, you know. You just think that you have to be patriotic. And that I find is a funny thing because I think this country was founded on the complete opposite of patriotism, you know, considering how it was formed to begin with. I mean, those guys, you know, revolted and protested and, you know, started a war and won. You know, that was, you know, it was kind of built on a bit of, you know, saying fuck you to a higher power in a way. And I think that portion of it, you know, which really I think has a lot to do with freedom as a base concept, it's been replaced by, I don't know, so many other things. And I think that people get really scared at the thought that, you know, and America's got this build-up of they're the best and they're number one and nobody's better. And when you really look outside of that, you'll find out that's not true and most of the world doesn't really like us and they have a good point most of the time, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. America is power-tripping. And a lot of American citizens acknowledge the fact that a lot of countries, they view us as a joke. We can't manage our finances. We act like old brats. We have to have everything. We think we're badass, you know. And I can't say that I blame them because looking in from the outside, I view the same thing. I am not patriotic in any kind of way. There are parts of, you know, the military that I do not support. And I explain this as the fact that, you know, the military that's over in other countries that get caught torturing the prisoners of war, you know, you're going to have people that go, fuck yeah, you know, you teach them, you know, we're America, fuck yeah, you know. No, to me, that paints a very poor picture of our country and of the military and us as citizens of the country. And I remember when I was a teenager, I became so disgusted with the government that I literally had a plan where I was going to get citizenship in another country. I think it was Canada at that point because it was so close to where I was. And leave America. Even as when I was like 20 or 21 years old, when Hillary Clinton said she was going to run for president, that I don't know. I'm leaving. I'm going. See you later. Even now, I want to leave because of Michigan's governor. I wish they would just kick him out of office because he's not doing any good. He put through a financial crisis law, financial manager's law, and this law gives him the ability to go into any city in Michigan and declare in a financial crisis. And he will imposes the city with his appointed people. And these people can go in and make that city's government resign.
Wow.
Regardless of how the city feels. Yeah. And this shit got passed. Like, it went through. And he took over Benton Harbor. And he made their city's government resign. And they started out, income per capita, they started out at a little over $10,000 a year with their income per capita. It hasn't even been a year since he's done this, and it's dropped $2,000.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we have a caller. 941, you are on the air.
Well, hello, this is Ryan French. How are you?
Hey.
Hello.
Ah, interesting topic. You know, it's kind of like a Rolodex of responses on this because I belong to both different organizations for government awareness and what have you. And there are some comparative studies or just observations that I've seen where, for instance, Paris, I don't think they arm their citizens, but if there's a law that this Paris does not care for, the citizens will surround Parliament and protest, and by doing so, they actually shut down the government. And if you kind of think about it, Americans have been kind of sedated, like how the Romans would do with the liquor. You know, if you occupy a particular area, the Romans would supply wine so that they would sedate the populace, so they wouldn't uprise. The only thing I think as Americans that we have going for ourselves is that our own government is truly deathly afraid of us, because if we ever do rally, such as down in St. Paris, you're talking about citizens who are armed. Even Louis Farrakhan mentioned it by saying that there was a rally with the people brought guns to Washington, D.C., and it was a peaceful protest. And everybody was law-abiding and open carry. So I think what it boils down to is the government, our government, is doing its own version of subversion to quell us from any culture shock that we're about to evolve into.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's I think the goal, and I think the media and lots of different things are used for that, is just kind of make us a little bit complacent and a whole lot distracted. I mean, an example of, I mean, in the 1950s, housewives used to band together to boycott different companies, and they shut several companies down doing that all over the nation. You know, all of the wives would refuse to buy that product, and they, like, you know, they knew which ones they were doing that week, and they knew which ones they weren't. We don't do those kind of things anymore at all.
You know,
the big difference, because I really do think that, you know, your money and where you put it, that is power, especially in a capitalist society. You can control who stays and who goes.
Well, a good example of our complacency is if you look at the Twin Towers. For about 6 weeks straight, right after, everybody's waving their American flags made from Taiwan on their little windows on their cars, while posting their flags in the front lawn, showing their American support and whatever. And then about 3 months later, across the nation, you know, those flags aren't flying up anymore. There's no awareness. There's no people looking into things. And, you know, bottom line of the matter is, I think it'll take a mushroom cloud or two or a total evasion before America wakes up to what's going on. So, you know, that's just my introspective.
And that's very unfortunate. I definitely think that in order for there to be a majority to be aware and not walk around trying to be the best patriot they possibly can be, I do think that there's going to have to be something very extreme. I mean, you would think with the economy and how things have been going and the path that America is on, that people would actually go, shit. You know, this is actually happening. But a lot of people, they sit in their neighborhood and they're like, well, it's not happening here. It's just, it's over in that state, so I don't really have to worry about it. Now, I live in a state where, you know, we have one of the worst unemployment rates in the entire country. And there are still some people that here that are very satisfied with their lives. They're very satisfied with their little bubble. And that's because they don't dare to step out of that little bubble to look at everything else that's going on. It doesn't affect them.
Well, I don't know. I have a different perspective on that, which I think is that, quite honestly, I think that a lot of people are out of touch with what's going on in their community and locally. And that's mostly because, I mean, we know what's going on in the world now, which makes a really big difference. An example would be the Can't Say Gay Law in Tennessee. There was a lot of other stuff going on in the world, and the news was running pretty much everything but what the our state legislative was in the middle of passing, because there was a bunch of stuff going on in all these different parts of the country. And I think that's part of the issue, is that, you know, how much do you know what's going on in your specific hometown, your specific community, what laws are being passed? I think that we've kind of disconnected from our own small spot, so to speak, you know, our own place, our own city, our own town, whatever, and we're looking at the world. And I think it's almost too much information at times, which is part of what keeps everybody so distracted.
Yeah.
Well, there's another thing out there. Not so long ago, I think June, July, Nebraska had a flood, and it was 18 inches away from a nuclear catastrophe. And the rumor mill was that the Obama administration asked for that information to be not broadcasted. And was even allegedly censored from YouTube and from other medias. And the funny part was, the only people who were broadcasting it were the local people with their cam phones or the local media there. But not many people know that two nuclear power plants were literally 18 inches away from being submersed in a flood zone, which would cause a nuclear, like another Three Mile Island or another Chernobyl.
Yeah, we had a really bad flood in the Nashville area about a year ago, and I mean it was relatively tremendous. I mean, there was a lot of damage. It was actually, you know, there, like our local news was saying, you know, it was the equivalent in some areas of Nashville to Hurricane Katrina. I mean, it was bad. I mean, like, we got lucky where I live, but pretty much everywhere else was, you know, almost completely underwater. I mean, there were some areas where, you know, it got up to 10, 12, 14, 16 feet. Stuff was just completely covered. And the funny thing about that, though, was that I'm watching Good Morning America, and I'm going, okay, well, we made the news. We didn't, you know, pretty much steadily. Like, there was very, very little being reported on what was going on down here, which I was really surprised about, because, you know, you think that everybody, you know, that would be the story of the year for, you know, the heroism, blah, 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 that happened. And it was just kind of ignored.
I had a debate with somebody, and it was a post, and it was about the Muslim guy over in Hood, Texas, who killed off some of his army men. And I think that's still a big court case today. And the funny part was, I was mentioning to the audience of the posters, I said, you know, the only reason why the media put this here is to stir emotion. And they didn't quite get it, but I wasn't talking to the average crowd that I normally talk to. And but basically, you know, I'm an Army vet, and a lot of crazy shit goes on in the bases. But why is him being a Muslim anything of particular? Well, because obviously the reaction towards Muslims has to have some type of sustainability of, look what you're doing. And so the press went on and started promoting the fact that this guy was a Muslim and he was killing people under the, you know, eyes of Allah and all that. And, but, you know, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. But what makes the formula better was the fact that the news had it so that he was actually in the military as an officer and he went postal, you know. And that's what it was about. It was the fact that he went totally off the wall. But the news media is very selective as to what they put on the news. Because when I worked at housing police in the city of Boston, I had tons of shootings and tons of, you know, I mean, literally I had anywhere between 5 to 12 shootings either a day or a week, depending on the season. And you don't hear about that stuff on the news. So the news is very selective as to what it puts up there. And to a degree, I agree with some groups of people that it's very controlled or controlling by, or controlled by various sources, in particular with the government.
But see, to me, that's just wrong. I don't think that, and this sounds, I had an argument with my mother about this last night. I don't believe the government should have any control on social media. I don't think they should be able to censor anything. If it's happening, I want to know about it. And if you're blocking something important that is still going to affect the American people, they should know about it too, and they should be explained that situation in a way that they can understand and not in this, like, clusterfuck of, you know, terminology that they don't understand at all. Because
well,
I think that's cool.
I'm sorry. What I'm going to say is we live in a misnomer. We have this belief that we have the freedom of speech, but we have the FCC that dictates what we can broadcast, which obviously transmits our speech. So we think we have a lot of rights, but we have a lot of other agencies out there quelling those rights, but we accept them for the agencies that they are, but not for the deeds that they do. And I think that's half the problem there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interject.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's true. The checks and balances thing that we've got going on that not a lot of people see, you know, they don't see the regulation of the amendments. And like you said, there's always going to be an agency there that is overseeing certain rights, and it's not necessarily that the agency is protecting those rights. A lot of them actually suppress. they just cut them in half, and media is definitely one of those things. So I mean that it's a very, very good point.
Like you said, on the HR article, the government takes over everything. And if you actually kind of read what it is that they take over and what they have control over, that's a scary thought. I mean, that's martial law. Even the police officers,
yeah.
You know, even the police officers are powerless because the first action they do is they take away the arms of the law enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they take position over it. They basically shut down the Constitution. You don't have any rights. In the executive orders, they're written that way. And it's extremely concerning to read and know that at any point in time, those could be carried out. And the fact that they have troops waiting in the wings for this to actually happen, it goes to show that even though we are doing, or at least certain parts of the population are getting ready for this big collapse of the country, so are they. And it makes it even more important that those of us that do know what's going on prepare for that situation, because we don't have to just prepare for the collapse. We have to prepare for what the military and what the government is going to do, maybe out of impulse, because they don't want to lose control.
Well, when I worked Section 8 HUD housing, I basically was the Housing Redevelopment's private police force over in the inner city. And when I've done so, we would cross-train, or we would discuss things with other agencies, and even though we're privatized, we have our own little subgroups of training and trainers and what have you. And one of my trainers went to a seminar, and he came back and he did this is back in 1993-1995, and the FBI, and this is obviously a prelude to the 9/11, but the FBI basically told everybody it was to stock up on arms. We're expecting to have civil unrest. So this has been a precursor, as far dated back as I can recall, up to the mid-90s. So this is not something new. This is something that's actually being plotted and planned out, the way I see it. And you have to have a certain amount of events to equate a purpose or a reason to have it. You know, for example, the Twin Towers again, you know, we have an ideology we're looking at to, say, bad people, to me it's just another satanic panic. The only downside is you have Muslims standing up against their own, you know, their own people fighting it. But it's our government pointing the finger saying that these are bad Muslims. Now, not all Muslims are bad. I worked with a few of them. But the thing is, you know, you're going to have the right formula to create the right reaction. And I hate to make a parody with Star Wars, but or a link to it. But I think there was a quote of the princess that said, you know, there goes democracy with a round of applause. And that's, to me, is more of a reality now than anything, but, you know, than anything before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, I'd certainly agree. You know, I think that in a lot of ways, from what's going on, is proof that, you know, you know, if you have a democratic system, you know, the government's going to work very hard to move away from that as quickly as possible.
You know, what I was doing
recently.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead,
man. No, go ahead. It's your show. One other observation is there are a group of Americans. I mean, whether you're talking about Anonymous or you're talking about other groups that are, you know, splinter off or shadows of, that do have a lot of government awareness or citizen awareness of what's happening out there. Of course, you know, to me, it's another form of propaganda. So you're talking right wing versus left wing. Well, you know, you kind of have to do like a Michael Moore film, 20% bullshit, no, 20% truth and 80% bullshit, and you kind of have to work the way around it. You know, you have to, you know, make sure you can decipher what is true, or at least take the initiative or the intestinal fortitude to see for yourself if what's being said is gospel or is it just propaganda. And I think Americans just need to be more involved. But at the moment, I forget who said this earlier, but Americans are extremely complacent. And I think that is our major fault as so far.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree. I think that it's, you know, I'm afraid, and my biggest fear is that it's pretty much over and done at this point between the economy and other factors going on. I just, you know, I think sometimes I'm pretty sure that the country I live in is in its death throes at this moment. And, you know, I am also, you know, I think that it's in a way it's, I don't like what I see right now, and I would like to see it be destroyed, but the fundamental concepts that the country was founded on to begin with, I do like, and I do think were valid. I just think that they went away a long time ago. I was telling my husband this morning, I said, I don't really think that I was born in what would be, you know, foundational America, not in comparison to, like, you know, where my parents were or anybody else, the freedoms and, you know, freedom, liberty. I mean, those just very basic things. Those things have all been chipped away to this point where they really no longer exist.
Well, like I've written before on the blog that I have, I have not lost hope, or whatever word you want to call it. I have not lost hope in American spirit, because it's there. You know, it may be a small group, but it's there. And
it's
spread across the country. Exactly. It exists still. The foundation exists still. But people have gotten so used to relying on something other than themselves and educating themselves about, you know, everything that's going on and what rights they do have and what they can do, that we're not focusing. And I definitely, when people, you know, when you point out the fact that all over my television is news about other countries, my opinion, America should be turning around and focusing on what's going on in America. Yes, okay, Libya is having issues. The Middle East is having issues. These countries have always had issues, and they probably always will. But the fact of the matter is America has spent so much time focusing in on helping these countries that we've allowed the downfall of our own country. And I think that in the spirit of half of the people wanting to be known as a country that helps people and the other half wanting to be known as the country that, you know, swoops in and takes care of everything, we've lost that willpower to swoop in and rescue ourselves, so to speak.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from a kind of guilt attack to that. You know, the American mindset in general, which is that I really think that people, that it makes Americans feel really good to know that they have it better than other people, or to perceive it as they have it better than other groups of people. And I think that there's also a guilt attached to, you know, the comparisons, which, I mean, really at the end of the day, a lot of times are rather false, but it's what's perpetuated here, which is that, you know, we have the best lifestyle, we have the best, you know, it's the best of everything. That's how America is portrayed to its own citizens, and I think that automatically makes people feel bad for people that aren't from the quote-unquote best country in the world. You know, when you look at any single statistic, we're not really number one on anything. You know, so it's really a, you know, we need to be looking definitely at what's going on in our country to see, you know, I mean, I honestly feel that most of the problems are unsolvable, and, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, in order for something better to be created, you know, this is going to have to be destroyed in the form it's in now. And that's, you know, it's a scary thing to think about, but I always try to think about it like, you know, what you know, If you dropped George Washington into this country, he'd probably be doing the same thing, but it'd be to overthrow this country here now, you know. And I always think about that, you know, like, I doubt that the Founding Fathers would be happy at the direction it had taken, and I would, you know, I highly doubt that they would be satisfied with, you know, what their, you know, descendants, so to speak, have done to, you know, the founding concepts that they went with when they founded the country.
Well, I was discussing something with Wicked, and he said something that I actually really, really had a distaste for. He said, America has earned the right to be lazy. And I told him, no, America's not earned the right to be lazy. Because just because you put in so much work and you get a positive outcome out of that work does not mean for the rest of the time that you exist, you should, you know, receive the same positive income as you did when you actually worked for it. Running a country, it takes work.
I think you're not going to appreciate what you have unless you take it away from you. Then you truly understand its value. I think that's where, well, at least what my perception is with it. Because if you have nothing to challenge you or nothing to go against, no competition, then if you're ahead of the game, people get lazy. It's kind of like a marathon. We have the thing called the Cold War. And one of the things that kind of destroyed Russia, you know, this is another, you know, behind-the-scenes ploy or discussion. So the validity of this is, you know, is questionable. But according to, like, the Mother Earth publications, one of the things that we did to wipe out Russia's communism, or a big part of it, was the Star Wars plan. We actually beat them through our economics. They spent millions and billions of dollars in research and development trying to do this patching up of the Star Wars program that we allegedly had. And even though we're pretty up there in the science level, the reality of the matter was it was all propaganda. And economically, we beat out Russia. And what I'm seeing now is the same ploy is being used against us through Iraq and through Libya by the by other allegations that they're trying to do the same to us by selling the oil not by dollars, but by either by a gold standard or even by euro, which would equate to about four American dollars to one. So they're actually beating us in our own game. And that's the rumors of how we're involved with other countries, because what they're going to do is they're going to bankrupt us any way, shape, or form they can. And our reaction allegedly is by creating these fake facades or these allegations of mistreatment of people and what have you. So whatever guys that we decided to come up with, we respond to this economical terrorism by actually showing up with our military forces. So if we can't beat you with our wit, we will beat you with our bronze.
I do think that America has been rather genius throughout its, even from its inception in the propaganda campaign that the media has used from the beginning. I mean, just if you step outside from an outside point of view, I mean, everything, how the government got us to want to go to want to participate in World War II. I mean, there's so many varieties of things that they've done that, I don't like being manipulated, but I can at least admire the style and intelligence with which the American media manipulates us. There's an assumption that the only two choices are Democrat or Republican, and there's a lot of other parties out there, but they're just ignored by the media. So they, a lot of people just assume that they don't really exist, or that they're simply, small fringe movements that can't do anything. And if enough people would vote for, and a third party candidate, they could actually win if they could get the electoral votes. But that's also set up with, the Democrat or Republican system, when, there's a lot of other parties out there, that are actively trying to get their own candidate elected. They just get ignored, and
I think
there's not that much of a difference between the Democrat and Republican Party at the end of the day, if you really look at them.
Well, I think that there is a fear that will turn into a parliament. And when you have so many different categories and you have a bunch of people yelling and screaming at each other in a big round table room. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid as American government-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think essentially that's what we're going to be turning into eventually, because all these smaller groups like the Libertarian Party, everybody is actually growing in strength as they have dissension among the Democratic and Republican parties. So as there's dissension in those groups, you're going to have strength in the smaller groups because they have sustained for the last 20, 30 years of their existence. So, yeah, we're going to, essentially we might become what we fear.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing, too, is that I think that, I think those things are largely inevitable, and they're just trying to be pushed off and held back rather than realizing that, a lot of people are just, they're pissed off, all over the world, people are pissed off at their government. And a lot of times they have a right to be, and they have a right to say something and do something. I mean, I always look at it like this, nobody really asked me, these decisions were all made and set up before I was ever born. I wasn't asked, what do you think about, us passing a whole group of laws that are not based on the Constitution. Nobody ever asked me that. I wasn't sent a survey in the mail to see if I was okay with this, It just happened, and I was just born into that system.
not to break off topic, it kind of parallels with it, but a lot of people really don't know the Constitution, and I'm one of them. I took a security guard job one time, and one of my trainers told me, he said, hey, you know, because they get hired to do abortion clinics and what have you, and he would bring a copy of the First Amendment with him, and then he would go off, and when he had asked the deputy to remove protesters from the property of the clinic, he said, well, they're exercising their rights. So he'd bring out the First Amendment and says, you have the right to protest a government. This is a private entity. They're trespassing. Do your job. And the problem was, this is in Lee County, Florida. This is down in Fort Myers. And we had a sheriff who was who actually introduced the pro-life license plate in the state, which is now defunct. So, so this is the environment that I lived in. And so I had a very clever and older gentleman who was teaching the security class about people's rights. And he says, a lot of people just don't know them. Another misnomer is the separation of church and state. And that's interesting because we use it all the time. We hear the American atheists use it. And there's a big uproar because of it, because you don't want one group having more power over another one. Mm-hmm. And so my thinking was, now I mentioned it before, and a friend of mine actually stuck it in my face and said, look it up. Sure enough, there's nothing that says, you know, it was actually a letter, or I think it was.
That's right. Yeah, it was a part of a letter. It wasn't actually put into the Constitution, technically.
But I think what it was is they were trying to use that in the spirit of the right to gather and be free of religion, and no government body should choose what is religion. I think that's where the phraseology comes from. So they try to combine that letter with the First Amendment to come up with the separation of church and state. So, but, you know, even today, if you look at some parts of even Oklahoma, they openly pray in a school function. And if you ever look up Atheists in America on YouTube, and you'll find how open atheists are actually publicly chastised and even treated as a second-class citizen. It's kind of like being black in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s in America. And this is 2011, and this is a religious topic, not even a racial one. So I find that very interesting myself, too. But, again, these are just little misnomers. A lot of people think they know about American rights or policies and come to find out that they're, you know, actually not existent.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's like the Second Amendment. It's very, very, very poorly defined. I mean, it's the words that are used, it's very easy for the government to say, well, militia means military, you know.
Oh, yeah, but right now, right now, the pro-gun people are spinning in their chairs laughing. Detroit and Washington, D.C. had an anti-handgun law. You cannot own a handgun, period. And the Supreme Court just ruled that that's unconstitutional. Now, the states have the right to regulate it, in which they do. I lived in Massachusetts, and they regulated the hell out of you. You know, you go through training. Yeah, go through this. Mm-hmm. I talked to Zach, and his license cost him like $300. And the license down here cost me $120. And so the thing is, when you the states have the right to regulate, but when they actually banned it, that's when they violated the Second Amendment, which mm-hmm. just happened not too long ago, overturned not too long ago, maybe like 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, I have my concealed carry license. I actually thought it was downright laughable because, like, once I got it and I paid all the money and I went through the training and I did everything, I really can't